just got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com.
Steve, are you ready to go into the unknown?
Oh my goodness.
Which I have to say is the only song that I remember from this movie.
Of all of the 77 songs.
Yeah.
Well, thanks to Disney Plus, we are able to see Frozen 2 now.
We are. We totally saw it.
And we have nothing but time to watch it now.
That's what we're doing. Mm-hmm.
Basically.
Well, it's one of those ones that
I wanted to see it so bad when it came out.
Did you?
Yeah.
You did say you were excited about
it. I really was.
It's one of those ones, though, that I heard they were making it, and my mind instantly goes to cash grab nonsense.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like Frozen the movie needed a sequel. There weren't a whole lot of questions that I had after Frozen was over.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's what I think is the most important thing about a sequel, is that it needs to have a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying write your movies so that there's things missing, so you write yourself a sequel. I'm saying there needs to be a motivation for us to want to continue on this story.
Right? Well, and I personally think Toy Story is an incredible example of this.
Mm.
Each one of the, I don't know, three four. Of the four that I've seen... each one of the movies, I think, are very standalone movies. You don't need to watch the entire thing to enjoy them.
Sure.
If you do watch all of them, you get all of the inside nuances that they make.
Yeah.
Each one is fantastic in its own individual movie style, right. I think. Even the last one, 4. The moment we walked out of the theater from Toy Story 4, I immediately said, I can't wait for number 5 to come out. You're like, it's never happening.
Don't say that.
But that's what I think a good sequel should be. Like one that there's time between the shows.
Right.
It's an independent movie. It continues the storyline with characters or whatnot.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. And there are ways to do sequels that are 100% necessary and worth watching. It totally happens. Unfortunately, I don't think Frozen 2 Electric Boogaloo was necessary. Frozen 2, Frozen Again, you know, Frozen 2, The Thawing. I don't know what you're calling it, but
just Frozen 2.
Well, it didn't feel necessary to me. Even after watching the whole thing, I kind of thought, well, yeah, I guess, you know, it wasn't like, oh, perfect. It solved so many questions that I had. So I think that's where I had the biggest issue with it, is I was waiting for the movie to give me information that I was like, oh, this is why this movie needed to be made.
Yeah.
Beyond just the fact that Frozen was such a huge, massive success that they needed to make another movie to capitalize off that success.
Yeah. Are there parts of the movie you really liked?
There are some things about the movie that I really liked. We'll start with that. First of all, the animation is gorgeous. You can't say a bad thing about the animation. The figures, Anna, Elsa, Kristoff, their skin looks amazingly real. They've even upped it from the last time. They have more freckles. Their skin isn't plasticky anymore. It's very real, for lack of a better word.
I don't know. I think one of them might have got Botox.
Oh, Elsa clocked.
No, that was me.
Oh. All of the animation is gorgeous and fluid. They've really gotten it down to a good science of making their characters feel alive when they're talking, when they're reacting. Their body movement, their facial expressions all feel really well done.
Yeah, I even believe the rocks.
The rocks look super real.
Mm-hmm.
All the effects in it are really neat. They really turned Elsa into a superhero in this one. She was throwing her powers everywhere, which is, I think, probably what most people wanted to see. Because the first movie, Elsa spends so much of her time hiding everything.
Yeah.
And then when she does let it go, it is, you know, she has... when she does let it go, I caught myself.
You did.
When she does finally let loose... it's okay. Her powers are cool. And this one, she doesn't hold back at all. And she's doing powery things all over the place.
Yeah.
Right? So that's fun to watch her get to just shoot things with ice. That's fun.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Were there things that you liked about it? Oh! That's a big no.
I was so excited for it to be made too, for some reason, and I thought it was going to be good, and I really liked the direction of the first Frozen. I thought it felt a lot like a Broadway play.
Yeah,
so much that when they put it on Broadway, you're like, oh, this is a natural progression of this.
Makes sense.
It almost feels like where it was meant to be.
Sure.
I wonder if they're going to incorporate any of this into the stage show, but the answer is no, right?
No, right? Definitely not.
They're not doing any of that. You know, it was free to watch.
Oh, hoo-hoo.
So I guess that's true. But I feel so bad because I'm the only one on Earth, essentially, right?
Are you?
The critics, the audience score is 92% approval rating.
No, really?
The critics are a little bit rougher at 77%, but both of those are still pretty good ratings. Globally, it made like 1.450 million dollars worldwide.
And that's why Disney made it.
And that is why they made it.
So let's be honest. It starts out with a huge exposition dump. Like they pack so much stuff into the first 5 minutes of this movie that was not even hinted at in the last film. So I personally was a little exhausted by just the beginning of it.
I don't remember. How did it start?
It starts with, fun fact, I don't know if anyone else at home noticed this, but Anna and Elsa are little girls and they're playing with little snow figures.
Oh, yeah.
And if you look, she flies around a Dumbo, which is cool. And then sitting next to her is a little Baymax made out of snow.
Oh, that's fun.
Very cute.
I love Baymax made out of snow.
But then the dad pulls them aside and gives this huge backstory about an enchanted forest.
Oh, you're right.
Just kind of out of the blue, honestly. And then after that, we get a whole backstory from the mom about some river that apparently holds all memories or whatever. And it's just a lot in that first little bit where you're like, okay, what is all this? And why are we hearing this now?
You're right. I do remember that. That was part of the movie.
Yeah. And then we have to talk about the music also.
All of it?
Not one by one.
Our double-sided cassette tape thing that they... this would be like an extended Broadway mix.
This music, to me, it just didn't feel very Disney necessary. Like, a lot of times, the thing that works with musicals in general, not just Disney musicals, but what the idea is that you run out of words that you can say, so you have to break into song to really get your point across.
Really to convey the moment.
Mm-hmm. Part of your world.
Yeah.
She is so distraught that she just has to break into song to express how badly she wants to go out of the water, right?
Yeah.
All of these songs feel like they feel like a stage musical almost, where they're like, oh, I'm having a hard day. And let me tell you about it. You know, and then, you know,
there
it just doesn't work
moments
that
we honestly thought we were watching like an 80s music video.
They did that with Kristoff's song, where they even have like the Bohemian Rhapsody heads behind him. Like, it was just like it took me out of things more often than I was just enjoying the music.
I thought that was true.
Which... it's unfortunate because, again, the music in Frozen is so iconic. To have the music in Frozen 2 be so far from iconic is really disappointing for me.
Yeah, definitely true. It makes me wonder if we had gone to see it in a theater on opening day, if I would have enjoyed it more.
That's a good question.
Watching it this far after the fact and this far away from the hype of it and whatnot, because from what I remember, people were really, really excited about this show.
Oh, for sure.
They were, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
92% of them were.
Yeah. And, you know, people probably did enjoy this. It is not a horrible movie. I'm going to say that. It's not the worst movie that I've seen.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't a fail.
But it definitely wasn't what I wanted out of a Frozen sequel, personally.
I will say to the people listening to this right now, if you watched it and loved it, I challenge you to go onto Disney Plus now and rewatch it again and then tell us how far off I am and tell me why. You got to tell me why. Like, I'm dying to know.
Well, my main concern with Frozen 2 is that the story, it doesn't have any build to it. It feels like everything is just kind of handed a little too easily to these characters.
Yeah.
So for those of you that haven't watched it yet, or it's been a minute, Elsa's hearing voices, oddly enough.
Yeah.
And decides that she somehow is going to wake up this enchanted forest. I don't know how that happens. It's never really explained. Elsa just says, "I woke up the enchanted forest."
Oh, that's right.
And then it wreaks havoc on Arendelle for some reason. And yeah. Everybody runs out of Arendelle, right? Everybody's like, "Oh, we got to get out of here. There's an earthquake."
Weren't they forced out? Weren't they like literally like picked up and floated away or something?
No. All the lights went out, and then there was like a breeze, and then there was like their cobblestone roads got messed up a bit.
Yeah.
And so they all move out of town, and literally those people stay there for the rest of the movie. They don't show them with tents or nothing. They just stand in the open field above Arendelle.
Oh.
And then Elsa's like, we gotta fix this. Fix what? What are you fixing? What are you talking about? And then they keep talking about how Arendelle's in big trouble if they don't figure out what big trouble? What are you talking about?
Very.
And then they get to the woods and they find out that it's like in a weird time stasis where people have been stuck in there for 30 some odd years, apparently.
Oh, crazy.
And like this, all of the story beats are just kind of declarative statements. There is no, "Oh my goodness, I didn't know. Let's build this question and work towards an answer." They're like, "Oh, our mom was part magic lady. We know that now."
Yeah.
You just know that now? That's just part of what you know? Like, and I'm trying to make it make sense as I'm going here, but I was very confused the whole movie as to the pacing didn't work well for me.
Yeah. That's definitely true. And then we watched at the Oscars, Idina Menzel sang with the backup choir and stuff, right?
Right.
And didn't we think that song was somewhat kind of eerie at that point too?
Oh, it's definitely eerie.
And then when we watched it throughout the entire movie, I was legitimately freaked out. I was like, I don't know if it was supposed to be relaxing or...
I think it's supposed to be haunting
angelic.
In a way.
It is supposed to be haunting.
Yeah.
Good job.
The thing you find that, well, I guess the thing we eventually find out is that their mother, for whatever reason now, is trying to tell them why Elsa has magic powers by haunting them. I don't know. It's
kind
a weird mix up of storylines, and then Elsa quote unquote dies. So then Olaf quote unquote dies. We actually get an Olaf death scene.
Oh, we do. I forgot about
which
that.
Which is completely unearned and out of left field, in my opinion.
And even the very second it was happening, I was like, he didn't die.
No, yeah.
Nobody,
you know he's not
nobody
going anywhere.
Believed that Olaf was dead. I mean, maybe if you're a kid.
It's possible.
And if you're a kid, why?
I'm sure people probably had an emotional reaction to it, but for some reason, I just thought it was a cheap ploy to try to pull on heartstrings.
Yeah.
Kids,
speaking you know, of, kids are going to be crying in the theater.
Right. Speaking of cheap ploys, the lizard, the little fire lizard.
Yeah.
just toy fodder, as far as I can tell.
And it like, worked, because I totally want to go buy one.
He's super cute. Darn you, making said, cute characters.
I said he has to be on a patch immediately. And
I'm like, oh, they've already made it.
That's true.
And, but he does nothing the whole movie. Like, there's no reason for him there was to be like, there.
He didn't do any? Yeah.
So, I guess in my opinion, it's worth a watch. You can see it. It's fine. You're not going to, you know, you're probably, it's probably not anybody's new favorite movie, I wouldn't say, but it's fine.
It definitely didn't shift the entire Disney kingdom like Frozen 2 or Frozen did.
No. And I feel like there are things they could have done to make it more.
I was just going to ask you that, and it's totally putting you on the spot without any preparation. What would you have done differently in the show? What direction would you have gone with it?
I really liked the idea of finding out why Elsa had powers. I think it's a good idea for a sequel. Be like, look, she was born with it. Why was she born with it? You know?
True.
I don't mind that plot line at all. However, I think it got overly complex. And too many random characters were kind of mushed into the story that had four lines at most, you know.
Even the big characters I thought were understated. I thought Olaf and Kristoff is the boyfriend, right?
Yeah.
I thought both of those were pretty understatement and were missing for half the movie.
Yeah.
The poor little troll rock people, like they were like never nowhere to be found.
That's true. They only showed up once.
Oh, that's sad.
So I liked the idea of, let's find out the origin story of Elsa's powers. Cool story. I'm down for that. I don't like the way they took it.
Yeah.
The weird betrayal of a Native American type people.
Yeah, I did feel like that with their grandfather's now an evil dude.
Yeah. There was no villain in this movie, by the way. There was,
unless you count the grandfather,
but he didn't do anything. Like, I read an article where someone said maybe it would have been more interesting had their grandpa also been alive in the mist, and they had to deal with the family connection with him, and then finding out that he had done this bad thing, and there's like a weird push and pull with a family relation.
Yeah,
because you know, their parents are dead. It would be nice for them to find their grandfather and think, great, we have a family member that we thought we lost.
Oh, yeah.
And then to find out that he'd done this horrible thing.
Oh, that would have been great.
Would have been, you know, an interesting way to have an interaction, at least.
That's what we call a tearjerker.
Right?
That would have been good.
So there are ways that I think the story could have been better and a little bit more streamlined. But obviously I'm in the minority in not really enjoying the film.
Yeah.
Apparently a lot of people really, really like it. So, maybe I'm just being a grumpy stick in the mud about it.
It was, not nearly as much fun. There wasn't as big epic moment. I did like the idea of thinking about it was Grip's idea, but the water has a memory and that it, you know, has been in other people before us and stuff.
Now, let's be fair. Olaf basically carries this movie. He does weird, funny things the whole time.
Uh-huh. And I still want more.
Samantha, I don't even know a Samantha. he's great, which is why I don't think the death scene was necessary.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, there are so many fun ideas that could have been played out more. I just wish that they had overall. But the really interesting thing to me now, major spoilers this whole podcast if you haven't watched it yet, but
we're nine months late.
Right, I know.
We've been asked to wait on reviewing new movies because we ruin it for so many people. So we're like, okay.
Yeah, we wait. So if you haven't seen it yet, it's your own fault. It's free on, I mean, it's not free. It's on Disney Plus, so you could have seen it by now. What's interesting is that we no longer have princesses in Arendelle anymore.
Oh, yeah. They've all been elevated.
Elsa's a queen, and now Anna's a queen. So this is probably why they didn't add either one to the princess pantheon of Disney. People were asking about that for quite a while. I don't think this was planned, but people have been asking why Anna hadn't been made an official Disney princess yet.
Mm.
maybe they were waiting for her to become a queen. I don't know.
But all the queens are always evil, right?
Not all the time.
Do we have a non-evil queen?
Yeah, Rapunzel's mom is not evil.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have some non-evil queens. So, Steve, just in the last few minutes we have, if they make a Frozen 3.
Ew.
When they make a Frozen 3.
No, don't you even. At $1.5 billion, they're going to make a Frozen 3.
Oh, for sure.
Straight to Disney Plus.
Do you think, that would work. Do you think that, what do you think they should do for a Frozen 3 to bring you back to enjoying the Frozen franchise? Do you have any idea?
No, I really don't. I have no idea what they could do to make it fun again. I just like, the problem is I just like one.
Yeah.
And I guess is why they remake originals, but I love so much about it. I love the yoo-hoo guy, and I just love everything about Frozen 1. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's epic.
I think that's
hilarious.
This is my problem with the sequels, is that they feel like the story needs to be bigger.
Mm.
And you lose a little bit of the intimacy of the characters when you try to make the story bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
So, it might be interesting to see Elsa now sitting on a different kind of throne, on an elemental throne. Perhaps there are rulers of the other elements that she has to put up with now.
Okay.
Something happens between her and Anna where they start fighting again, and all of a sudden the magic world and the normal world are at odds, you know. I don't know. I'm trying to think of things that might make the story interesting.
And I will say that, like, they did this short, right, for the Christmas season.
Yeah.
We're together.
Yeah.
With that, I loved that. That was fantastic. Even though it was only 30 minutes, loved it.
Well, and it was little, and it took place in Arendelle. It wasn't some massive, overblown story.
And Olaf carried that entire story.
And Olaf carried the whole
it's
movie.
It's all about the comedy for me.
Yeah, you got to make it funnier. It's not worth watching.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Bring the funny, dang it.
So, if you haven't watched it in a while or haven't watched it at all, hopefully we didn't ruin too much of it for you, you can go and watch Frozen 2 on Disney Plus, or I'm sure it's for sale on Blu-ray. I'm sure you can find it.
Sure, why not?
And
if you have deep insight into the show of what we're missing, please tell us.
Yeah, for sure. Let us know what it is that you loved about it that we missed, because I'll say this again. I never want them to fail. I want the movies to be good. So if I'm missing something that makes it great, let me know, because I want it to be great. But it's like I always say, it's about time for me to harness the power of my own water horse and to gallop off into the distance to find out I'm an elemental spirit.
Oh, I did love the water horse.
Follow my perfectly sculpted two-fingered point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app. And if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique. And we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.